Welcome to Code Green, the Climate Smart Health Professional. In this series, we're talking curriculum. We'll be exploring the intersection of climate change and health through illustrative patient cases developed by climate health experts and by sitting down with educators around the world to learn how they've enacted climate-focused curricular change. In this episode, we're going to discuss physician roles for spearheading planetary health integration into med school curriculum and lessons learned along the way. To guide our discussion, here today I'll be talking with Dr. Farah Hussain, who is an associate professor of clinical medicine at the University of Pennsylvania and works as a hospitalist. And she also is the first ever director of planetary health curriculum at the Perelman School of Medicine. I've had the pleasure of working with her as a student at Penn and also as a student member of the healthcare sustainability group at the med school that Dr. Hussain advises and works with. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Hussain.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be talking with you today.
Before we dive into talking about your current role at Penn as Director of Planetary Health Curriculum, I wanted to back up a little bit and just learn about your journey into this space of healthcare sustainability, the climate health nexus. Most people working in this space have taken totally different paths, and there's no one path to this kind of intersection. So I was curious to learn what initially sparked your interest in sustainability and climate and healthcare.
My interest really started back during my undergraduate years. I had these two amazing professors, Liz Fallon and Rachel Mers, when I was an undergrad at Swarthmore College. And they introduced me to cell biology and marine biology. And Liz actually became my thesis advisor, and she happened to be working with sea anemones at the time as a model organism for coral. And so I was trying to figure out like the interaction between the anemones and their intracellular critters called dinoflagellates. But I think that that's when I first fell in love really with the ocean and was introduced to how climate change was affecting it. And I knew that, you know, it was something I wanted to pursue in my career, but I did end up sort of putting that away for a little while when I went to medical school because I wasn't really sure how to merge all of my interests. But really when the 2018 IPCC report came out, it sort of rekindled my interest in climate change. And there was a lot more discussion within the medical community about how climate change affects human health. And I sort of thought like, this is my moment. And I've always really been interested in medical education. So that's been sort of my micro focus within this this huge expansive issue.
Awesome. That's so interesting to learn that it all started with more kind of marine science, ocean bio, and then was able to now be translated into what you're doing with the health intersection. Just for any listeners out there who aren't familiar, would you mind giving a brief description of what the IPCC report is that you referred to?
Oh, sure. So the IPCC report is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It's basically like a committee that puts out these reports every few years. And in the reports, they basically outline how climate change is affecting, you know, the country, the state of the world, where we're at in terms of benchmarks and things like that, in terms of mitigating those effects. And the reports are really interesting. They highlight a lot of different issues. But I remember, if I'm remembering correctly, the 2018 IPCC report had this like one summary line that said, climate change affects human health and livelihood. And I really took that to heart when I read it. And that's sort of how everything was born in terms of, you know, my position now. It was just really that one sentence in that report.
Thanks for that. That's amazing what an impact that can have. And I know now there's the Lancet Countdown on Climate and Health regular publications as well, which would definitely recommend to any listeners too that really draw out those connections. Okay, so that was kind of how you developed this interest in sustainability and then when it all fused together with human health and climate. How did you then take that passion you had and develop it into transferable and or hireable skills within the world of academic medicine?
That's a great question. To be honest, at first, I was just doing a lot of reading on my own because it was an area that I was interested in. And, you know, I was doing kind of like evidence-based medicine lectures within my department just to sort of make people aware of the issue. But then I was very, very lucky in finding some other faculty members who were also like-minded, and we created this small faculty sort of working group to think about what interventions we could make within our health system. Unfortunately, of course, then COVID happened, which put a lot of those plans on hold. But during COVID, I decided to take the climate change and health certificate course through Yale, which was a really amazing experience. I learned so much and you know, got to talk with people from disparate backgrounds from all over the world. And that was really the catalyst, I think, for my curricular work, because as part of that certificate program, you have to sort of create a climate intervention proposal. And mine ended up being about creating a climate change curriculum for medical students. And so it was really an important jumping off point, because I didn't have much practical experience, I would say. It had all previously just been sort of reading on my own and learning as much as I could.
Makes sense. And before diving into what happened next and more details about the certificate program, I wanted to follow up on what you said about finding that group of like-minded faculty. How did you end up connecting with these like-minded individuals? Because I know that's something that, you know, from the trainee level all the way up to the attending level, when you have an interest that's not necessarily super widely publicized or a well-trodden path, it can be challenging to find people who have that same niche and have that same interest. So how did you go about that for the climate health space as an attending?
Absolutely. I think in medicine, in academic medicine in particular, we can be very siloed. But the way it happened for me is I actually just brought it up with one of my mentors, who's a more senior hospitalist who sort of knows a lot of people who are interested in a lot of different things. And he actually recommended that I talk to one of my hospitalist colleagues, Dr. Kirsten Knox. And she had sort of tried to do some of this climate work and really like Herculean efforts to get things off the ground, even before I started sort of thinking about it myself. And so once I reached out to her, I realized that she knew other people, and we all sort of felt like this was our moment. And we got together and created this little group that subsequently became basically a subcommittee of one of the faculty senate committees that are working on climate change interventions within Penn as a whole.
Got it. Wow. It's great to know that, you know, those mentorship structures still continue on and exist long past medical school and residency. So it sounds like after the certificate program at Yale, you had developed this project proposal, had these ideas. How did that then translate into Penn creating this position of Director of Planetary Health Curriculum? I don't think it existed when I first started as a medical student at Penn. Maybe I'm wrong, but how did you pitch that to admin, or did they come to you? How did that work?
It is a brand new position. I was lucky enough to get it last year, so it didn't exist when you started medical school, but it's been a real thrill to work with the medical students. So honestly, it started with me developing and pitching a climate change and health elective based on the proposal that I had created during the certificate program. And you know this because you were one of the first students to take the elective, but with that elective and really a groundswell of interests from the students about this topic, and then a truly inspiring recognition by med school leadership, I think, that this is an important issue that students need to be prepared for, the position was born. And, you know, I didn't really pitch myself for the position, but they recognized the need and they knew about my interest and the elective, and I was thrilled to accept it when the opportunity arose.
Wow, that's really particularly interesting to me as someone who did experience the first iteration of the elective, to learn a little bit about behind the scenes how that transformed and evolved into a more formalized position. How do you feel that, and you touched on this a little bit, that medical student advocacy did or did not play a role in helping to bring to admin's attention that this was and is a really important issue in med ed and something that would be worthwhile to formalize from the student's perspective?
Oh, I think student interest was critically important. I mean, your advocacy and the way that you sort of used every opportunity to bring this up to the leadership about how important and huge a topic it was and how it was going to affect your future clinical practice. And then, you know, other more concrete things that helped the leadership recognize the need, like the Planetary Health Report card and things like that. I think they took all of that into account because really at the end of the day, med school leadership wants to make the best doctors, right? And so knowing about climate change and being prepared for how it's going to affect your future patients, I think they recognized that importance immediately and it all sort of fell into place very quickly.
That's really wonderful to hear. And I know you already touched on this a little bit, but I wanted to hear a little bit more about how, since the podcast this season is really focused on curriculum, how you picked curriculum as the way in which you would carry out this climate and health advocacy and why you decided to make your Yale certificate project focused on curricular development, because I'm sure there are a lot of other routes that you could have taken as well.
Definitely. I think for me, medical education has always been one of my passions, and I already had some curricular development experience because I had also created a narrative medicine curriculum for the internal medicine residency. But really, at the end of the day, having the opportunity to learn about these topics myself and then really solidify that knowledge by creating lectures and then mentoring students on this material brings me a lot of joy. And I think teaching has always done that for me. So I just sort of knew that that was the route I was meant to take. I have so much respect for my amazing colleagues who perhaps are a little bit more active in, you know, policy, healthcare administration, research, things like that. And I do try to be involved in those areas of the work as well. But at the end of the day, I just love teaching. So that's what I've been focusing on the most.
Got it. So moving into the actual role itself, you've spoken a little bit about the elective that started it all and how you're iterating upon that again this year. What do the duties of a director of planetary health curriculum entail? Like, what does that really mean? And what kinds of things are in the pipeline and have you been working on so far?
Yeah, I really view my role as being the advocate for integrating as much climate change related material into the core curriculum for all of our med students as possible. So the hardest part of it all is, as you know, the curriculum is already jam-packed with so much material that you have to be really intentional about adding more information into a course. I really started by doing a survey of the preclinical courses to see where, if any, climate change-related material was already being covered within the curriculum, and then brainstorming ideas with the course directors about how we could integrate more. And sometimes that looks like a whole lecture. For example, there was already an amazing lecture by one of our pulmonologists, Dr. Hari Shankar, who talked about environmental exposures and discussed some of the ways that climate change affects lung disease. But sometimes there's really only space for a few slides on the topic within a lecture. And in those cases, I have been trying to either create the content or provide materials for the lecturers to use to create their own content. And then for some other courses, we also have supplemental materials like PowerPoints and readings within the syllabus so that students can do some self-directed learning if they're interested in learning more. I'm also, you know, really excited that we have a whole doctoring session focused on climate change and the environment. We also have a health system science session focusing on it too. And then for students, as you know, who really want to do a deep dive, I do still offer the climate change and health elective, which takes a more systems-based approach on how climate change affects human health and pathophysiology.
That's great. I would be so curious to see what the doctoring session is like. For context, for any listeners to this podcast, doctoring sessions are something that medical students in their preclinical years take part in which they talk about social determinants of health, environmental determinants of health, and work through some of the more interpersonal skills involved in being a clinician. And so that's wonderful to hear that there's now an environmental health climate focus session in there as well. I'm curious, you said that, you know, there have been kind of a variety of different ways in which climate and health has ended up being integrated into these different organ system blocks, ranging from an entire lecture to just a few slides to supplementary material. Was that process guided more by prioritization of which organ systems have the most connections with climate change, Or was it guided more by each course director's preferences and how much material already existed in each course?
Probably more the latter, I would say. I think that every organ system is affected by climate change. And if I had infinite amounts of time, I would love to have dedicated lectures within each course about that topic in particular. But based on the, you know, other required material that course directors need to cover and the breadth of sort of evidence-based information that we have about different organ systems and different disease pathophysiologies, there has been sort of different skews to which, in terms of the degrees to which we've been able to cover the material during the different courses.
That makes sense. What has the reception been like so far, both on the faculty side of things and also on the student side of things, to both the more focused content, like the electives or the doctoring sessions, and also just to the more subtle integration of content across the organ blocks?
Honestly, it's been fantastic. I think most of our faculty recognize how important this issue is and not only want to learn more about it themselves, but really want for our students to get formal education in this. I think the thing that I hear the most is that there can be a little bit of apprehension about teaching about climate change because many of our faculty feel like they haven't received formal training themselves, which I think makes sense, right? 10, 15, 20 years ago, we weren't really talking about this within med school curricula. But I do think that in medicine, we do a lot of self-directed learning already, and the health implications of climate change is just another area of opportunity for this. You know, overall, I've been met with overwhelming interest and enthusiasm, and some of our faculty have actually started coming to the elective lectures to learn a little bit more, which I absolutely love. And from a student perspective, I guess you'll have to give me the inside scoop on that, but I do think that the students appreciate having this as part of their curriculum because I think that they, more than anyone else in medicine, recognize how important and urgent this is. Some of our students are coming from places that have been devastated by wildfires and floods and other extreme weather events, or have families who have been displaced because of the effects of climate change, and they know it's only going to get worse, and they really want to be well equipped to best take care of, you know, their patients and themselves and their families as best as we can be for the future. But like I said, you probably know more about how the students feel than I do. Maybe they're just like, oh, another lecture to sit through.
No, I would hope not. I certainly, at least from my experience, not really in the preclinical space as much, but helping with this most recent iteration of the climate and health elective, when we were sourcing students to help out with compiling lectures and doing some background research, I was really blown away in a good way of how many students did respond to email outreach about that, so much so that we had students who were willing to work on all of the lectures of the elective. I was expecting maybe one or two people to respond, but it was more than that, and people across different years, which I really do think speaks to the rising awareness of climate change being a really significant priority for clinicians and a public health issue. So I think that has been encouraging, and we'll be looking forward to hearing more about the reception to other components of the curricular changes as well. Is there anything in particular that you're most excited about kind of coming up, looking, let's say, 5 years down the line that you would love to see happen in planetary health curriculum at Penn? Or just in general in MedEd?
Oh gosh, there's so many things. I'm really excited to continue to expand the curriculum within the medical school as much as I can, but I'm also hoping that there's going to be opportunities to do similar interventions at the GME level and the faculty development level as well. There's also some really exciting curricular collaborations that are starting within all of the health schools here, and you know, with nursing and dental and the vet school. So I think there's going to be some really interesting and unique opportunities to learn about this information from a more multidisciplinary perspective as well.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I feel like One Health is one that I've seen a lot of emails about personally at Penn recently, with between the vet school and the med school, and you flagged so many other good collaborations as well.
Absolutely. There's a lot of really incredible work happening across campus. And I think one of the most exciting things for me has been to slowly but surely be finding all of these other people who are working within this area, whether it's within the undergraduate English department or, you know, within the vet school. And everyone is so brilliant and brings their own area of expertise into this huge, huge issue that it's just been very inspiring to meet all of these people and to start all of these collaborations. And I think there's a lot of really exciting things that are going to come out from these connections that we're all making.
Absolutely. And bringing it back to the med student, healthcare trainee level, from your own journey in this planetary health space, do you have any tips or takeaways that current trainees can do to take action or to position themselves best to be able to do the kind of thing that you're doing down the line?
I love this question because I do actually get it a lot. And I think that the best thing you can do for yourself is fill out Dr. Ayanna Elizabeth Johnson's Venn diagram. So she has this TED Talk, which I also highly recommend. But basically, she recommends to ask yourself three big questions, which are: one, what are you good at? Two, what brings you joy? And three, what is the work that needs to be done? And where those three circles overlap, that's really what you should be doing. So, you know, if developing curricula is important to you and brings you joy, there's tons of opportunities out there. Many medical schools and training programs don't have this material formalized within their curriculum. So, you know, just reach out to your attendings and your mentors and see if you can put together a grand rounds or an EBM session or a journal club. Even if you can't necessarily create like a formalized curriculum, I think there's a lot of opportunities out there to do smaller lectures and things like that, but really increase the awareness within, you know, your peers, your colleagues, your attendings, and highlight how important of an issue this is. But I also fully recognize that curricular interventions are not for everyone. So, you know, if you are more policy minded, find people within your spheres of influence and your circles that you're in who are doing that kind of work. You know, even things like calling your Congress people and expressing your positions on the importance of climate change policy, or writing an op-ed for your school newspaper to highlight how climate change affects, you know, your immediate community or your patient population. I think those are all really low-hanging fruit that people can do to get involved. But really, you have to figure out what you want to do and what is, no pun intended, sustainable for you, because it really does have to bring you joy for you to make it a cornerstone of your training and your career.
I love that. We'll definitely link that Venn diagram in the episode notes, because I think that that is really great advice and something that everyone can think over as they're planning what direction they want to take. With that, I will turn it over to you one last time. If you have any closing notes you want to share with the audience.
You know, I would just say that this is a really rapidly changing and expanding field, and it's so vitally important. So I would really encourage students and residents and attendings to advocate for getting formal education into the curriculum at every level, from the med school to faculty development. I think people are often surprised when I talk about how climate change affects every aspect of human health, you know, from pulmonary disease, which is probably one of the things that people sort of think about and recognize the most, but, you know, to nephrology, to reproductive health, to dermatology. I think there's so many opportunities out there, no matter what your specialty is or what you're thinking about going into, to improve the education we get around this topic. And then there's also a lot of evidence-based, you know, practical sustainability tips and tools that you can use to integrate this into your clinical work in the future. You know, whether it's recognizing the importance of decreasing red bag waste or which anesthetics to use if you're going into a surgical specialty. So I would just really love to see more and more of this information become core components of curricula everywhere, because it's such a huge issue. Everyone within every healthcare sector really needs to be doing their very best to address this and to mitigate its effects in our community. And I just want to highlight too, again, that you can't underestimate how much power as you have as medical students. Like, the leadership is really listening to you. So advocate for what you want and what you need, whether that's climate change related or not. But certainly from a climate issue, I think the medical community is recognizing how huge this is. And we really need everyone to be prepared for the consequences that we're already experiencing and that are just going to get worse. And future physicians need to have formal education on this. I can't emphasize that enough. So find opportunities that are out there, create those lectures, talk to people, do whatever you can, because this is an issue that's not going to go away.
All right. Could not agree more. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on Code Green. And I will see you around campus. Thank you again.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Code Green, the Climate Smart Health Professional. Thank you again to Dr. Farah Hussain for talking with us about her role as Director of Planetary Health Curriculum at Penn. If you want to learn more about ways that climate change and health intersect and find out more about ways you can get involved, check out Medical Students for a Sustainable Future and the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education. This is Jenny signing off. See you next time. This podcast is hosted by Jenny Silva and produced by Natasha Sood. This episode was sound edited by Liana Hagis. This podcast series could not have been possible without support from Medical Students for a Sustainable Future and the Climate Clinic podcast at the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education. We want to acknowledge the Indigenous lands that we're recording from. I am recording from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which sits on the traditional homelands of the Lenape people. Lastly, we want to hear from you. Just send us an email at codegreenclimatepod@gmail.com or DM us on social media. Our Instagram is @CodeGreenClimatePod and our Twitter is @CodeGreenPod. Finally, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this show. Thank you again for tuning into Code Green, the Climate Smart Health Professional. We'll see you next time.